Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
I've been rejected umpteen million times in everything in life, business, education, whatever it may be. And I've failed many, many times. I've learned over time that failure is a great educator. I embrace failure. I don't necessarily highlight it, but I embrace it, knowing that that's going to just make me better.
Thanks for listening to the Rising Coaches Podcast. This is Adam Gordon, and today we're joined by Nima Omidvar of George Washington University. As you will realize quickly in this podcast, Nima has a penchant for boldness and branding. He's done everything from putting together events, tournaments, scouting reports, scouting services as a high school and grassroots coach. He wrote a random email to Mark Godfrey telling him everything he was doing wrong with social media. He helped Maryland basketball become world famous with appearances on the ESPYs and the Ellen Show with their Running Man Challenge video that went viral on social media. Helped build Porch City and the student section at South Alabama to create a tremendous home court advantage, and has now helped coin the phrase, the world's most powerful university in the world's most powerful city at George Washington University. More importantly, Nima is extremely humble, genuine, and down to earth. I think you'll be able to tell that right away in today's podcast. I really enjoyed getting to talk to him. Today's podcast was recorded July 7th in front of a live Zoom audience of Rising Coaches members. If you want to be on these Zoom calls and have an opportunity to ask questions and interact with our guests, you can do so by becoming a member at risingcoaches.com. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you do, please hit subscribe and write us a review. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Rising Coaches Association, the biggest coaching tree in all of basketball. Sign up for the Rising Coaches Association now for just $120 a year and become part of our community, relationships, and development. We talk about it all the time. There's no straight lines in this profession. There's only ups and downs. You need a community that knows exactly what you're going through and has been there before to help lean on during the rough times of the industry. You need genuine relationships, not just exchanging numbers, not just meeting new people at the Final Four in the off season. You should be doing it all year round, and we provide tremendous opportunities to create those genuine relationships all through the year. And finally, development. We have so much content and so many resources so that you can work on your craft and become a better coach. Because we put such a premium and an emphasis on helping you establish new, genuine relationships, it takes all of the political BS side of the business out of the equation for you. All of that gets removed off of your plate. You can just worry about being you, making new friends in the business, and working on your craft and becoming the best coach that you can be and impacting the people that you're around on a daily basis. For more information, visit risingcoaches.com and join us today. Nima, what's up, man? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to make sure I got you on with our group because we've talked a few times now, and I've heard you speak on other Zooms. David Bentley's three-level panel, which you did a great job on. And I just think you have a unique perspective and took a really unique path to getting into coaching that a lot of people can learn from. Everyone's got a unique story. And a lot of times when you hear it, there's like, oh, they caught a crazy break, or wow, like what a coincidence, or they wrote 1,000 letters and finally someone wrote back. But you kind of had a very intentional approach. It was very different. So that's again why I wanted to jump into that, because I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned from it. So yeah, let's jump right in, man.
I'm excited to share about it.
Yeah. Start us off with like the very beginning, like when you're getting into coaching.
Yeah. So when my first ever coaching opportunity was coaching my high school summer league team at Damascus High School the year after I graduated high school. And, you know, I had no idea really what I was doing. I just knew that I wanted to help and be around basketball. And my coach was gracious enough to give me that opportunity. So I go in these summer league gyms, and in Maryland, we are very big on summer league. It's very organized. And there's different pockets and levels, if you will. So I'm in Montgomery County Public School basketball, which now I know is kind of the not necessarily the highest tier, but back then, I mean, that's big time stuff. And I see the same people in the gym over and over, and I see the same people conversating with one another. So I made it a point when game started at 5 and last game started at 9, if my game was at 7, I'm going to be there at 5, and I'm just going to strike up a conversation with a different person every single day. And it didn't matter if that person was relevant, quote unquote, or not. It's just it's a person that's around basketball. And this is something that really paid off for me kind of further down the line in my career, just being open to having conversations with anyone in the basketball community. Everyone listening today is involved with basketball in some shape or form. Everyone that's listening has something that they can add to me as a coach. And I like to think I've got something I can add to them as a coach, as a leader, as a mentor, et cetera. So if we just have a dialogue and just talk about it, like, let's become better. That wasn't necessarily my intention. My intention initially was, hey, I just want to kind of get in the know. I want to be around these conversations, and I want others to know who I am. Through doing that, that led to an opportunity to be the head coach at the Jewish Day School in Rockville, Maryland later that year. Was just because I just chatted it up with some people, and someone decided to recommend me for the position. And that's kind of how the ball really started rolling. Then I get the job, I do well, and the conversations in gyms continue. I have an AAU team, and then another AAU team says, hey, why don't you come join us? Because you have no, you know, real structure. You're just a 19-year-old dude coaching a bunch of really good kids. We'll help you out. That AAU team became that was Triple Threat, which later became Team Takeover. And so just through having these conversations and being humble enough to say hello to someone, and just them being gracious enough to say hello back, I was able to really open up some doors that probably would not have opened up otherwise.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about, like, the grassroots, because I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was, somebody earlier today, as a matter of fact, that was saying that, you know, hey, I wasn't a manager, I didn't play, and so I feel like I'm behind the eight ball. Like, how do I break in? But, like, grassroots is, like, the perfect way to do it. And you're, like, you're 19 years old at this time that you started getting involved. Like, you don't have to necessarily be involved with a college program while you're in college.
No.
Like, what drew you to, like, the grassroots side, and what did that level kind of – what kind of doors did that open up for you?
Well, I think all of us listening that are coaches, we probably have all at some point were kind of snake bitten in a good way by the addiction that is coaching, right? So I got mine, and I was still in high school actually when I first started coaching AAU, and I was going into my senior year. I had a group of kids from the neighborhood that wanted me to coach them because I worked at the Sportsplex where the league was at, so I can get them a discount, and I just became the coach. Depends on how bad you really want it. I skipped my senior year of prom to go to an AAU tournament and get my butt whooped. You know, that was important to me. Like, I wanted to go into that tournament because we washed a lot of cars and sold a lot of candy bars to be able to have the right to do that. And so from there, you know, you make a conscious decision of what's really important to you. If it's important to you, you're going to find a way to do it and kind of get in. So maybe you didn't have that managerial background or whatever background. If you have the intentional approach of understanding, first and foremost, what is it going to take in my bag of skills to be successful at the position I want to be at? Once that is kind of figured out, okay, now how do I get those skills in my bag? Then just go start to doing that. I remember going to the King James tournament, which was one of the first big time tournaments I got to go to, national brand tournaments. And I came back, and again, I'm in college. I came back and my roommates were like, how'd it go? We're like, man, we lost the championship. We got screwed. But I think I could put a tournament on like that. And I did. I just, you know, decided to make that an intentional step, that from that moment on, I'm going to create basketball events, because I know if I want to be a support staffer, I'm going to have to do team camp. I'm going to have to do regular camps and clinics, et cetera. And just having that skill set of organizing an event is going to be very important to my ultimate career goals. So you start putting those skills in your toolbox, and next thing you know, you look in your toolbox and you're like, wow, I could do whatever is asked of me. But it starts with, you know, that first step in the journey.
Yeah. Like, as I hear you tell a story, you know, the things that pop out to me is like, you're probably pretty fearless and willing to take that first step, like you say, and you probably have no problem striking up a conversation with a random person.
No.
Where do those things come from for you?
I don't know. That is just in me, in my DNA. If I'm in a Uber, I'm going to have a conversation with the Uber. We're going to become best friends. You know, here in Washington, D.C., we have a metro system. I often like to, instead of riding an Uber, actually ride on the metro, because I can talk to somebody. I've had conversations with people on the metro and get recruiting leads. Often the player might not be good enough, but I can't get that lead if I'm in a silo. So that's just something that's natural. But, you know, you think about in our business of coaching, that first time you call a recruit, that's a cold call. They may not know you. Now, on the front end, if we do our part to build our brand and they hear your name or the school that you're associated with, the program that you may be with, and they have a little bit of understanding about who you are once you introduce yourself, then you might be off and running. But you've got to be very comfortable in your own skin. And I've been rejected umpteen million times in everything in life, business, education, whatever it may be. And I've failed many, many times. I've learned over time that failure is a great educator. I embrace failure. I don't necessarily highlight it, but I embrace it, knowing that that's going to just make me better. And, you know, not making the same mistake twice is really important, but just being open and willing to have conversations with others. So many are going to judge you. And if you allow that to slow you down, then you're never going to accomplish anything great in life. My family, I'm proud to say I'm first born American from an immigrant family that when they came here had nothing, just a dream. And, for me to navigate, you know, living in the communities that I lived in, where I've been the outlier and kind of the only one, I had to really be good at assimilating and conversating and relating. And that's just made me a more personable person. And above all, just being a good person, I think is really helpful. When you're a good person, people are good back to you and conversation becomes a lot easier. And then you could build from there.
Yeah, that's great. That's great stuff. Okay. Let's get back to your kind of journey here.
Okay.
Now that we know a little bit of like who you are and your framework.
Sure.
And how you work. So you're coaching at the Jewish Day School. You are coaching AAU. You've decided to put on your own events.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Well, as all this is going on, you know, and my kind of joining up with Team Takeover, which again at that time was called Triple Threat, happens about a year or two later. You know, we all in our process, in our journey, we'll have some moment where we're like, man, I know how to do this. I can be great at that. Until you get humbled a couple times, you're a little disillusioned. Early in my coaching career, I was disillusioned because I was winning games. At my first year, I'm 18 years old, head coach, win the Potomac Valley Championship. And it's like, this is no problem, man. Like, I should be doing this every single year. And I had some very fortunate conversations. I remember specifically having a conversation with Sidney Johnson, who was an assistant at Georgetown at the time, who was ultimately the one, and I've told him this before, ultimately the one that convinced me, hey, you've got a very good team, but you need to be part of a great program and learning the value in numbers and organization, and kind of really encouraging me to like be serious and intentional and looking at taking my unit, my singular team, and being part of a family. That was very helpful for me, because once I got over there and we started playing in a different pool of basketball, I started realizing, oh, I'm not as good of a coach. And no, we don't have the best players. That was really important in my journey, because then I understood, you know what, I don't need to be a head coach anymore. If I really want to be the absolute best, I need to learn more. And so I took the step backwards and became an assistant coach for a gentleman who is a legend in the D.C. area, Paul DiStefano. And then, you know, each step along the way in my journey, I made a very conscious decision on my, why am I going to do this? I went to Paul VI High School from St. John's because Glenn Ferrello said, I'm going to give you, now that you've got a little bit more knowledge in base of how to do what you're doing, I'm going to give you more responsibility to do exactly what you do, run these events, but now do it on a grander scale with a better infrastructure. So now we took a Virginia Invitational Tournament and DC Metro Showcase. These were my events that I had and made them bigger and better, where they have a larger reach. Create an email platform to promote our players. We called it then the six-man report, which still goes on today at Paul VI. But just send out an email to every single college coach in the country and say, here's our guys. And understand that this is the information college coaches want, transcripts, highlights, you know, whatever. Here's some information about kids that aren't even our players. And really demonstrate that we have the knowledge to help other coaches. That was what really ultimately allowed me to become a college coach, which is what my goal was. And so I could have continued on the path of being a head coach, but that would have been really very unhumble, very selfish in a sense. I needed to learn. I needed to learn from others. I needed support from others. And not being afraid to do that and take that pathway has allowed me to be here today. I would not be sitting here today talking to you, Adam, if it wasn't for those decisions to what some would perceive to be a step backwards, but really is a giant leap forward.
For sure. And that takes sacrifice, right? You got to sacrifice sometimes salary,
title,
all of it.
Go ahead. I would say this. When I went to Paul VI High School, okay, I was getting paid $0. I was substitute teaching to pay for my gas to get there, because I was a student at the University of Maryland, which for those that don't know is on a good day with no traffic is an hour drive. But I also was picking up a player in Baltimore and a player in Bowie, which are two different directions. So go get the kid in Bowie, Blake Bozeman, go up to Baltimore, get Raven Barber, drive to Fairfax, Virginia. So I've been in the car 2 to 3 hours while I'm in school, and I'm taking classes 8 a.m. to noon, and then substitute teaching when I can to be able to pay for the gas to put it in my car to get back and forth. Sleep in the car from time to time, and I'm proud of that. I'm not afraid to say that. And all because I knew that's what was going to really fuel and give me the opportunity to get to where I wanted to go. So where some looked at it as sacrifice, I actually looked at it as like opportunity. It was a privilege to drive with Raven Barber and Blake Bozeman 2 hours every single day and talk and just share you know, in those experiences. And we still talk to this day, those kids, those men now. We laugh about it. And I'm so grateful that I was able to do that.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Tell us about your first, you know, crack at the college level. You get a GA spot.
GA spot at UNC Charlotte. Don't have a place to live, drive 7 hours with my Nissan Sentra fully packed. Get there, the first apartment that I see, which is literally across the street from the main entrance of campus, Chateau Villa was its name. It was nothing Chateau or Villa about it. I just signed the lease. I get a 2-bedroom apartment because I knew I could convince one of my roommates from college to come down and split it with me because I knew he didn't have a job yet. So I did that. And I started working at Shane's Rib Shack from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. doing catering before I went into the office. So many other coaches have got stories like this. And so I'm not unique in that regard. But I will say this to the young guys that want to, like, skip that step, like, if you're fortunate enough to skip it, sure, like, skip that. You don't got to work at Shane's Rib Shack to make yourself a great coach. But man, is it just a great educator and teaching you the value and being grateful for where you will be one day? Because if you're willing to put in that extra time and effort just to make the ends meet, because I didn't get paid anything to do that. I paid to be a GA. This was, you know, back when these positions were not funded, and you know the rules were a little different. You didn't have to be a full-time student, so I paid the bare minimum, but it was $10,000 out of my pocket to be there. And I was able to do that because I had a coach in Glenn Ferrello who allowed me to run some events in the school and be a substitute teacher, put some money in my pocket to be able to then get to that position and really learn what happens in a college basketball office. And if you are a high school coach right now listening and you want to jump to, you know, a couple steps ahead, you know, you're going to miss a lot of that education of knowing what it means to do a mail out, what it means when the mail out gets bounced back, why it's important to respond to every email or mail out, all these little nuances. I got education through Bobby Lutz, Rob Perrin, Rob Moxley, Bobby Coomer, Chris Cheeks. These guys like taught me that stuff. And after a great first year, we got fired. And so I got a year-long lease. I got no money. And I actually just didn't pay the rest of my lease. I just told the guy, sorry, man, I'm done. I just left. And I finally have repaired my credit as a result. But, you know, it was a great educator in what this is, a business. And that's okay. We all signed up for that. But you got to know what it is that you're getting yourself into. And again, I wouldn't trade any of it for anything.
Okay. So you're sitting there, you just got let go after 1 year in college basketball. You're probably thinking like, what the hell?
Yeah. I literally said, what the hell? I said that so many times. What the hell, man? What the hell?
What's the game plan? Like, hey, what are you doing? I'm picturing you in your apartment with your roommate that you've convinced to come down to Charlotte with you.
And like, said roommate that I convinced and since left. So I'm actually like, we were like, hey, we're not going to pay the rent anyway. So he went back. Another roommate who shall remain nameless, very, very good friend, getting married later this summer. But he's a coach, comes down to Charlotte to coach on the prep school side. And, you know, this is where connections and value are so important. His brother later comes and works for me as a GA when I get to NC State. But, you know, you could sit there and keep saying, what the hell? Or you could just do something about it. So you start working the phones and, you know, again, go back. I went back to my process of what is it going to take to get back in the door? Right now I'm back outside the door. They booted us out. What's it going to take to get back in? Is it a knowledge, demonstrating a knowledge of recruiting? Okay, let me cultivate that. Let me make sure I'm at every recruiting event that I can get to in the state of North Carolina while I'm still here. Let me make sure I have every kid's information because maybe that's important, phone numbers and all that. This is really pre-scouting service era where you get all the phone numbers. Is it events? Is it just relationships? Let me cultivate all those different options and hope that one of them works. It did.
Bowie State, right?
Yeah. So, you know, prior to that, actually was at Howard University for a very brief stint. And Howard University was going to be a volunteer position. I knew that going in. And I was fired up to be a volunteer. Now, I don't have any money to pay rent, but that's okay because I'm going to either sleep in the office, which I ended up not being able to do just because of the nature of where the office was at the time. But I had my parents' house, so I could, you know, stay at my parents'. I'll just hustle on the side, get the gas money, but I'm in. I got the shirt. I'm working. I'm going to create. Coach Nickelberry was, a great friend of Coach Ferrello's. So Coach Ferrello blazed that path for me. And it's so often the case, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. You always hear that, but it's so true. So that's how I get in there. And I'm there for an entire summer. So now, you know, as operating as a Division I assistant, it's like, man, this is great. I'll take no money to be, you know, have that title. And then the opportunity presented itself to be at Bowie State for a little bit of a salary, $15,000. Very proud of that $15,000. Very grateful of that $15,000 to do the exact same thing. And I was really drawn to that position because of the opportunity. And knowing that I was not a great player, knowing that for me to be a college coach, it may be at the Division II level, the junior college level, et cetera, I was really infatuated with going that route. And having vision past that was really difficult at that point. It was all about, okay, now I got to do great here at Bowie State, whatever it takes to help out Daryl Brooks and build his program up to be a championship level program, I'm going to do that. I will say this, Adam, my crazy idea of sending an email to every college coach in the country as one mass email once a week, every week, the first time I did it, I had five responses. Okay. Of those five responses, UNC Charlotte was one of them. Daryl Brooks, who was then assistant at George Washington, was another. And I ended up working for him on my second job. So I get five responses, two of which I worked for those guys. So you would have thought, okay, you send out 4,000 emails, you get five people to email you back. That's a pretty bad response rate. But, there was a lot of production out of that response rate. So I know there's a lot of y'all out there that are doing that right now, sending the email, hey, I want to be the GA. Hey, I want to do this. And you might not get a lot of responses. And don't get discouraged by that. Keep working, keep adding to your toolbox, and your opportunity will present itself if you are deserving of that.
Okay. I'm glad you talked about that, because that leads me right into what I want to talk about next, which is your email to Mark Godfrey at NC State.
Yeah. So, I get an opportunity, or at least get in a conversation to have an opportunity to be at NC State as the video coordinator. Okay. So here I am, Division II assistant, less than a year removed from being let go as a GA, and thinking, man, I could be in the ACC. This is pretty sweet. Well, it's not moving to the pace that I like it to move. We do something here at GW. It's called the TAP test. I won't go into it all the way, but it gives you a personality type. My personality type is a rocket. And the basic of it is I'm from point A to point B. I'm not going to like give you all the flowery. I'm just going to go right to it. So it's not moving at the pace I want. And I decide I'm going to send Coach Godfrey an email because one, I understood. Well, first thing I knew was why he was interested in me as a candidate. He remembered me from my emails. He and I met while recruiting just kind of had a conversation or two that he remembered. We met while he was on TV while I was a GA at Charlotte. And so you think about how many times you may cross someone's path. And this was a guy that was number one in the country at one point at Alabama, right? He was on TV at ESPN. I'm a one-time fired GA. Okay. So why should he remember me? Well, he did. So don't ever, discredit yourself when going through, any of these processes. But, I decided, I'm going to tell him everything he's doing wrong with his social media. And in the hopes that he is receptive to that feedback, because my gut told me that's why he wanted to hire me. I'd heard in previous, business talks and things of that nature while I was in college, as a leader, as a CEO, you want to hire those that complement your skill set. So whatever you are good at, don't hire people to do the same things that you can do. So I recognize he's not great at social media. Most, older coaches, quote unquote, Coach Godfrey, I love you. I know you're not old. But guys that maybe came from a different era, they didn't know how to use social media, nor should they. That's not their thing. So I told him all that, and that hit a nerve in a good way. I also, instead of sending it to him, sending him the email, I sent it to the secretary, because I knew, just by going in the college office and seeing, I remember sending out these emails and seeing all the people that would open these emails. Constant Contact would give you read reports. And when I would go on unofficial visits with my players, a lot of times I'd see these coaches don't even have computers in their offices. So I remember asking, like, how does Coach so-and-so check my email? He doesn't even have a computer. Oh, that's the secretary. They check the email. So just having an understanding of that, saying, okay, well, the secretary's job is to deliver the message. So I'm going to send a really bold and what could be considered controversial message saying, here's all the things you're doing wrong. And that secretary is going to be, you know, compelled to share that with the coach. And she did, thankfully so. And as a result, that that really sped up our conversation and got me to an unbelievable opportunity to be, you know, video coordinator in the ACC on a staff full of former head coaches of the year, and in three seasons, three NCAA tournaments.
Nima, it's like, you see, this is a hard one, but like people do this all the time, is they're trying to get a job and they try to impress and they try to speak up to the person, which is always great to like speak respectfully to somebody. But if you're trying to get a job and trying to get them to hire you, don't you almost have to like show that you can provide value and you're not just the stiff yes man? Like you're actually like, hey, bring me on board. This is what I'm going to do for you.
Yes. So as a director of operations, when I was at Maryland, I was tasked with being the hiring component for GAs. We had a video coordinator position come open, academic position come open, et cetera. The must have read thousands of resumes. The resumes that really stuck out to me are the ones that, that demonstrated their value. All right, so there's a coach on the women's side, Tad Waddell, who's now at Mississippi State. He was a undergraduate manager at Kansas at the time. And again, everybody may look at it differently. This is the way I value it. And so if one day I'm a head coach, if you want to, like, catch my attention, if you know what the position is that you're going for, demonstrate you can do the position. So Tad sent everyone in our staff at Maryland – on the same day, a FedEx envelope that we all got at the same time, that we all opened at the same time, with a Photoshop picture of him on our bench and saying, hey, I'm a natural fit. That was the title. That's still stuck in my head. So think about the fact that he bought real estate in our head to get a position with us at that time by just doing something really unique. But what he also did was demonstrate he knows how to do Photoshop, which is, you know, nowadays GA 101 must have skill set. So if you send me that black and white email that has no color, that just says, hey, I'm a really hard worker. That's great. Everyone's a hard worker. No one's lazy. So that's not going to tell me anything. But if you put an attachment and say, here's some examples of some work that I've done. Okay, now you've got my attention. All right. It's same thing with, you know, a player sending you an email. If you're coaching at Division II, JUCO, D3, wherever, and a kid sends you an email and says, hey, I'm a really good player, you should recruit me, and they don't put the highlight video, well, I'm not going to follow up. But if you put the highlight video and I click it and you're good, I might follow up, right? That's really the point of trying to send that information out. So that's really, in a nutshell to me, you know, some keen advice, like you got to demonstrate that you can do the job. You got to demonstrate it in a tasteful way. You got to also understand who you're speaking to in your audience. That if I just get a head coaching job, or if Adam just gets a head coaching job, we're inundated by a million people. So you try to contact us. You may be the best video coordinator or be the best Twitter guy or whatever, but I might not get that information. So maybe look to someone else that you know has the ear to that person. And invest time in building those relationships today, not the day they get the job. Okay. Invest time now in demonstrating that value, because if you do that, when that time comes, you're already on their mind. And that just really goes to building your brand as a coach, and people knowing who they are. I know today a handful of coaches, junior college, high school, et cetera, that do an unbelievable job of marketing their guys. I've told them that, but I don't tell them that they're someone that I keep my eye on because I respect how they do it. I just keep a mental list. And so if someone asks me for a recommendation, I'm going to recommend them, even though I may or may not have worked with them, because I see their work all the time and they're doing it selflessly because that's their job. They're not doing it just to promote themselves. They're doing it to promote their program. And that's really important to me as well.
All right. I got a question for you. I feel like I know how you're going to answer it. Is perception reality?
No, not always. No. You can, well, yes, perception is reality, meaning you can paint a different perception and that becomes the reality. But no, in the sense that, you know, there's a lot of phonies and frauds, especially in this business. And, you know, over time you see it, you might call it out, you might not. Again, make mental notes. But there's a lot of coaches that are perceived to be as good human beings that aren't, that are about all the right stuff, that are scumbags. And then there's a lot of people that are considered to be scumbags that are good people. Okay. You each person has an obligation to pick and choose how they want to handle it. Okay. I know of a coach, and I'm okay saying it because I would never do this, but I know of a coach that spends an obsessive amount of time talking bad about our program. Well, you know what? That coach, they can do that. That's the waste of their time. Don't really care. Doesn't bother me none, but I know. And if they ever listen to this, they know that I know. But at the same token, I know that they're not spending time on their program. Therefore, we're going to surpass them by a landslide while they're doing all that yibbering and yabbering. And so perception to that person might be that they're a great person, but I know that they're not. And so that's a long-winded way of demonstrating that perception is not always reality. Now, your character is who you are when no one's watching, right? We've all heard that. I do believe character is really important. So a lot of people on social media, on these Zoom calls even, they portray themselves to be something that they're not. Each of us have an obligation to figure out who's the phony and who's real. And, you know, whatever it is, it is. Some may perceive me to be phony. That's fine. You have to be comfortable in your own skin. You have to be really, you know, capable of demonstrating whatever you're talking about and living what you're talking about. So, I don't know if that's the way you thought I would answer, but
no,
that's my answer.
No, it's a good answer. It's not what I thought you were going to say. And the reason why I would have guessed opposite, not so much on the personal front, but everywhere you've been, you've built something on a branding front that has turned into a big deal.
Yes.
And we probably don't have time to get into every single one, but like when you were at Maryland, you guys became world famous for the Running Man Challenge.
Yeah.
Like a stupid little social media video. Stupid. Everyone's got social media. Like everyone's got the idea, oh, let's do a video in the locker room. But like you did it, but it turned into what it turned into because of the way you built it.
Yeah.
We got to elaborate on this one. You were in a chicken suit as an assistant coach at South Alabama to help drive attendance.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's like, you know, anyone can get in a chicken suit and go stay in the middle of campus, but then it turns into a great home court advantage.
No question.
That's why I would have guessed the opposite.
So all that is, you know, just the way I look at it is being selfless in promoting your program. Right. So with the Running Man, first and foremost, that was Jalen Brantley and Jared Nickens's stupid little video, and they still know that I think it's a stupid little video, but it was the most Googled thing in 2016, which is pretty cool. They were on the Ellen Show. They got invited to the ESPYs. Pretty cool. And that was their experience. Okay. did I do some nudging to help them get to the Ellen show and make it go viral? Absolutely. Goes back to one of the earlier things we talked about. We said, well, do you have fear in striking up a conversation? No, because there are other ideas that I said, man, this could be really good. And let's execute it. And it fizzles out and no one hears about it. It doesn't become the most Googled thing in 2016. I had an idea at NC State on how we were going to really captivate our audience and our game, you know, atmosphere and marketing and all that. Didn't really work out. So no one talks about that, but me wearing the chicken suit and creating Port City at South Alabama, which is went from zero students to a full student section. Like, okay, yeah, we talk about that because it worked. So if you're fearless enough to have some bold ideas, then yes, to use the bad pun, some of them will stick, but you've got to have the guts to do that. And you've got to believe in yourself enough to do that. And it's got to be important to you. Like, it was important to us at South Alabama to create a home court advantage because we wanted to win some ball games. And if you got zero fans out there, then anybody on this call would wear a chicken suit and walk around campus to get a couple of people to the games. It's having a little bit of vision and mindset and saying, you know what, this is the goal that we want to accomplish. If you say we want to win a national championship, which is our goal at George Washington University, well, we have to have a plan on how to get there. I don't have to detail out my roadmap for everyone. Just know we have a plan and a vision. It's not just saying that we're going to get there. And so if we've had so many other visions that we've executed successfully, then we can probably execute this one successfully so long as we follow our roadmap with a couple of modifications along the way.
So I appreciate what you're saying in terms of, like, anyone on this call will get out on campus in a chicken suit, but that is 100% false. And I've been on a ton of basketball staffs where, like, all coaches do, this is a coach's favorite thing to do, is complain about the marketing department.
Yeah.
We don't have fans. We don't have fans because our marketing people don't get out there. Well, like, you took the initiative and you said, give me the damn chicken suit. I'm going out there and I'm going to get the fans.
Yeah.
And that's where,
by the way, it was my chicken suit. Didn't have to buy it. I own the chicken suit. That was it's my go-to Halloween costume.
Nice.
fun fact, Coach Christian and I were both chickens together for a Halloween before working together. So
please tell me you both showed up not coordinated and just been like,
oh, no, man. It was coordinated.
Oh, okay.
Through a mutual friend who kind of had the idea. So I don't want to take the credit for that.
And now a quick break to talk about our partners at Dr. Dish. As the off-season approaches, it's the perfect time to upgrade your training equipment. At Rising Coaches, we highly recommend you to check out our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. They are undoubtedly the best and most innovative training machines. Their newest model for schools, the Dr. Dish CT, is a complete game changer. It has a touchscreen that plays training videos, tracks stats by location, and incorporates on-demand workouts and drills from the top programs and trainers in the world. Check them out at drdishbasketball.com or on social media at drdishbball. Mention Rising Coaches before you purchase and receive an additional $300 off your next order.
And now back to Nima Omidvar.
So what's really great is every stop that you've been along the way, you have something you can point to where, hey, we created this and it turned into almost like a movement or, you know, something impactful. And your latest thing at George Washington has really been impressive. And you've done a few things. You know, you've helped tag it the most powerful university in the world, right? Or the most powerful city.
Most powerful university.
The world's most powerful university, which now
sounds
like.
Can I tell you why we do that?
Yeah.
Because I think this is important. When we call, if you call a recruit and you have to sell, I got to convince you that this is the right place. We're never going to get anything accomplished because kids are inundated now. And so think about 2022 recruiting right now. I got all these people calling, when are you going to offer to, like, damn, we just started. So there's so much pressure to get it done. At George Washington, we're a high academic institution in a major metropolitan city. So we have to build a narrative that before you hear from us, you understand a little bit about our product. Our product is a powerful university that's a great degree, et cetera. And so that's the why. It's not just the, you know, beat our chest and say, look at how great our institution is. Yes, that's part of it, but there's more to that. And so when we see kids that get interviewed by media and they say, well, why do you consider George Washington? They say they're in the world's most powerful city, or they are the world's most powerful university. That's important to us in helping us get to where we want to go, which is a national championship program. You can't do that without elite players. And so for us to get there, we need to have elite players that are also high academic that value this situation. If they don't value this situation, they're not going to come to us anyway. They can self-siphon themselves out, which is okay. That's fine. But those that do value it, we'll be able to know that a little bit sooner and really invest time in building that relationship, because the relationships are so important to us. So that's kind of the why we do that. But, you know, I thought that'd be important for everyone to hear.
Yeah, and again, like you said it, and then it becomes a reality. Perception is reality, right? No?
Yes.
I'm going to convince you of that one.
Also, it is the world's most powerful university. 37 current U.S. senators and representatives, 4 current presidents, 7 FBI directors, you know, and go on and on and on. So there is a lot of reason to say that we are powerful.
For sure.
Are we the world's most powerful? That's subjective. In my opinion, we're the world's most powerful university because we're in the world's most powerful city, soon to be a state.
There you go. And then your latest deal, which isn't that undersells it. You guys just created GW 360 mentoring.
Yes.
Which again, for a great purpose, a great cause, it provides so much value. But again, it's just further cementing your school's brand, your coaching staff's brand, your personal brand, because, you know, it's greatness that you guys are associated with. So tell us what it is.
So 360 mentoring is something that Coach Christian came up with. As we kind of followed our own paths, and I'm going to use my fingers here, it's like we're on the road. Coach Christian's on his road, I'm on my road. But we've been friends for a long time, and we'd always talk about, you know, how to achieve greatness, which is a really abstract concept, but difficult to get to. And, you know, for someone like myself, who wasn't a good player at all, someone like himself, who is a Black coach coming up in the game, we didn't have a ton of mentors to really guide us. You know, you think there'd be also more roadblocks in our way in terms of our path. And so I remember having a conversation with Coach Christian when he was the head coach at Mount St. Mary's, and I'm at University of Maryland, and I'm saying, like, I want an opportunity to get on the road, but I just don't know how to get there. I don't know how to get over the hump. And, you know, he's mentoring me, which is difficult for him. He's a head coach. He's got a lot of other obligations. He's got a staff of his own that I wasn't a part of at that time that he's obligated to help. And so this conversation really started then, and it's grown and grown. Then obviously now our paths converge, and we're now working together at GW. Within the first week that we were in Foggy Bottom in D.C., he comes in my office, sits down on the couch and says, you know, I want to put this event together. You have had a lot of experience in running events. I've got experience in just kind of being a connector. Let's, as a staff, do this and bring a lot of powerful minds together to help the, you know, those that are often unhelped. And, you know, Coach Christian, again, he came from a path of being a Division III coach. I was the D2 guy. So, and everyone on our staff, to be honest, has come through that route, a less heralded route, if you will. So we wanted to do something initially in person where we invite those that generally wouldn't get invited to things. You know, you look around, there's like all these different like lists. Coach Christian wasn't on any like initially top list. Now he is, because he's a head coach and he's earning that. You know, that's kind of the initial impetus of it. And, you know, obviously this year we've got, you know, COVID, so traveling was difficult. And so I attended one of these Zooms that Adam, you were a part of, And, you know, oh man, why don't we just do this online? And let's not make it exclusive to where there's a cost piece. Let's try and make it as inclusive as possible and make it free, because if we're truly educators, which we both, everyone on our staff really fancies ourselves as, we've had multiple coaches on our staff that have been teachers before, then we want to be able to give that education away for free. We don't need to charge for that. Like, we're very fortunate to be where we are. We want to be able to help others. And so that's kind of where it started. The piece about really helping those from underrepresented races is, you know, something that we're passionate about. And that before the movement really became a focal point here in the United States, that was our goal. But I can tell you this, I'm a lot more comfortable as a coach, even talking about what I did at the very beginning of this conversation, that I'm first born in America and, you know, son of immigrants. That's something that I would very much shy away from to talking about, because I was just never comfortable talking about that. But I've been empowered by a lot of my mentors to say, no, come out and say who you are, because that is who you are. And, you know, just giving education to others. We put together 7 panels, a panel of university leaders, a panel of athletic directors and assistant ADs, a panel of longtime head coaches that have been in multiple positions, a panel of young head coaches, which Coach Christian was a part of, a panel of legends, a panel that really talked about the search process, which you were a part of, Adam. So,
oh wait, I thought I was on the legends panel. I was in the wrong one.
Branding, man, branding. You are kidding, a legend. And so all of this was really to, you know, raise some questions, maybe give some aha moments for coaches and educators. And as we've kind of evolved this, you know, it's not going to be just for coaches. We want ADs, assistant ADs, the marketing person that maybe other schools are saying, oh, they should be doing better. Well, let's bring them in the room so they can understand what coaches from other schools' perspective are. So when they go back to their institutions, they've been inspired, educated, and motivated to do well. And that's the three tiers that our 360 mentoring really stands upon. And so we're passionate in helping that way. We're going to continue to do this in the future. Hopefully travel is allowed. We want to do regional 360 mentoring, you know, camps, if you will, for coaches of lower levels that want to become Division I assistants, Division I assistants that want to become head coaches, and really integrate a lot of other ideas to just create good. And that's what we're all about. We want to do well for others. We want to build others up as opposed to tear down. When a coach does something well, I want to be someone that goes to Twitter. And I really started this the last couple of weeks to say, hey, this person did a great job. There's just too much jealousy in our business. There's too much animosity to where they, you know, quietly behind closed doors, like the coach that shall remain nameless, that is, you know, saying all sorts of nonsense. I'd rather say, hey, you know what? Great job, Howard University, for doing what you did. We can't really like publicly say exactly what they did, but great job for doing what you did. Because you guys did something that hasn't been done before. And that's important to be celebrated. You know,
oh, yeah, Coach, you can't say it, but I'll say it just for the sake of our listeners. Okay. Obviously, Howard University just signed McCorr, top 100 kid, top 50 kid, future pro. So I'll say that for you. Good job, Howard, on that.
I can't say anything. Confirm or deny whatever you're talking about, but good job for those guys for doing that, you know, and they're in our city. I used to coach against those kids, those dudes, those guys, they're men now, Eric Atkins and Tyler Thornton. I used to coach against them. I'm very happy for them and having that success. Kenny Blakeney, the head coach, great job, man. Great job. Like he was very helpful along the way in my journey. So I want to see all coaches be successful. When the ball goes up, we're going to play our game. You're going to play your game. You know, whoever scores more points wins. But that doesn't make you a good person or a bad person. It just means that's what we do in our livelihood. But I'd rather build people up than tear them down. That's just what we believe in.
Yeah, That's what all coaches should be doing, right? That's really a great point. I'm glad you said all of that because there is so much cattiness in our business. It's absurd. So I appreciate you taking initiative on that. Okay, we want to open it up for questions, but before we do, the last thing I'll ask you, Nima, is give me the biggest lesson or takeaway that you learned during the 360 mentoring event.
There's a lot of value in teamwork. Okay. Our staff, everyone had a hand in what they all had a part. Okay. And we've all heard of John Wooden's analogy of the car, right? You know, the lug nut in the tire is just as important as the steering wheel. So I was fortunate to be a mouthpiece, if you will, because I was talking to people. And so a lot of people associated this event with me, but it's not me, it's we, GW. And we cannot have executed this if it wasn't for our managers that were scattered about getting email addresses and to be able to give the education for free. Our assistant coaches, the other assistant coaches who were equally instrumental in getting participants and organizing everything, our sports information crew and our marketing crew within our athletic department who did their part in getting the word out and making it look nice. Coach Tube, who, you know, they gave us the functionality to do it. And so thank you to them. There's Coach Christian, who had the vision initially, and Coach Christian and Tanya Vogel, our AD, for both creating an atmosphere where it's okay to pursue this, right? Like, we were not first place in the A-10 last year. So some others may say, well, why are you spending time on that? You should be worried about this. They created an atmosphere that said, it's okay to work on this. We encourage you to work on this, to be able to do good. And so all of these elements together is what I learned, that you cannot accomplish greatness. I thought the event was great. I'm biased because I was part of it, but I thought the event was great. I thought it went out with hitches, just like everything in life goes off. There's going to be mistakes, but at the end, when you look at the summation, there was a lot of good that was done, and that was done because of the great teamwork. When you go back to your staff, your basketball program or your company, whoever may be listening, you cannot accomplish all of it on your own. You just can't. You need to be willing and humble enough to accept help to be able to accomplish some great things. And then you could do even more great things as a result.
I love it. Well, it really was a great event. I'm proud of you for being a huge part of putting it together. And I appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today. We do have a couple of viewer questions if you got a few more minutes.
I got all the time in the world, man. Let's hear it.
Okay. Let's go to Menelik. And if you guys don't mind, introduce yourself and then go ahead and ask.
Rookie move. Apparently I can't get off of mute. Hey, how you doing? I'm Menelik Fernandez. I am the interim head coach at Fleming College. I'm up here in Canada. Thanks for taking a few minutes to give us, all of this stuff.
What part of Canada, Melnick?
I live in Toronto, but Fleming College is actually in Peterborough, so I commute back and forth.
Toronto is a great place.
Thank you much. Appreciate you saying that. I'll take all the credit on that one. I love it up here. It's fabulous. Doing really good things basketball-wise, I'd say, too. So I'm happy to be part of it. My question you kind of answered because I had it a while back, but it was a two-part question. The first part of it was, if you're writing coaches, not all coaches put their email or contact on their website, so to speak. And if you don't have an in, what would be the path that you would take personally to sort of figure out how to get in touch with that person? And then the second part was specifically, you had mentioned receiving a letter from someone where they put a picture of themselves on your bench and saying, I'm the right fit, and it's stuck with you to this day. If you don't really see yourself in a particular role on somebody's staff, would you recommend still writing, and how would you go about it? How would you frame it?
I think that, first of all, great question. And and valuable question, because I'm the type of guy that, like, I was taught by Bobby Lutz as a GA, respond to every email, respond to every letter. Doesn't matter if the kid's a 5'2" point guard and he's not any good, respond to him, right? So I'm going to always respond. But I do often see, just so many times, the ask of, hey, I want to be on your staff, but no demonstration of value. Well, if you demonstrate value before an ask, and it's up to each coach to demonstrate how they can demonstrate value. Now we're cooking. Okay. So Toronto is where you're at. Okay. There's a lot of good basketball players from Toronto. I recruited Toronto. I will always recruit Toronto. So now I want to know about Toronto. So be the source of information. I will say this: there is a coach in Toronto, high school coach, that goes out of his way to send emails all the time. Again, I might like this because this is kind of like something I would have did, because this is what I did do. But he sends me emails all the time. Here are all the kids in Toronto, not just my guys, all the guys. And I can connect you to all of them. Well, he's created value with me, so I'm going to have a conversation with him. Anytime he calls me, I'm talking to him. I was on the phone last night until about 2:30 in the morning with a coach in New Zealand. Okay, and he's demonstrated over and over again value to me by just educating me on players in New Zealand. So if you want something, don't be afraid to give something, right? So coaches, too often, we're always looking to take. All right, so now I got to give back too, right? So if I'm communicating to that coach from Toronto, I've got to be willing to help him. I asked the coach from New Zealand, what is your goal? Like, damn, you're doing a lot for me, man. What can I help you with? And so we can now become partners in that mission. He may say, hey, I want to coach with you one day. Well, I don't know if I can deliver that, but that's great to know. You got to say that too, because you can't get something if you don't ask for it. All right. You got to be bold enough and okay to take the pushback if someone says no. But if you're demonstrating value, however it may be, okay, I don't know how to use Photoshop, okay? So coach, that kid, that man, the young man that demonstrated that he could fill the gap that I didn't have in knowledge of Photoshop, well, that stuck with me because that's something that I value. I want to be able to use that, but I don't know how to do it. So I want to keep those type of people in my circle. When I was at NC State, I had a 12-year-old kid that contacted me on Twitter to did all of our Photoshop, and he did it for me again at Maryland. Okay, so another follow-up to that question, social media is a great resource and a way to get to people. If they don't have their email address on their website, they got a Twitter account, they got an Instagram. If they don't have any of that stuff, then they're probably going to get passed up, or they're just so good that you're probably not going to get to them anyway. Spend some time on somebody else. It's just like in recruiting. If I can't get to somebody, if I can't deliver a message, they're not going to come to our school anyway. So we just got to move on. So those are just some thoughts to answer your question, Melnick, and I appreciate you asking that.
Well, thank you for the response. And I'll let you know that I have a pretty short list of who those assistant coaches or those coaches in the high school level would be. They would actually be able to tell you who's who. So I'm probably pretty sure I know who you're corresponding with.
And think about that. If you know who I'm talking to, then they've established themselves as one of the experts in Toronto. And so if someone gets a job up in the Buffalo area, upstate New York, whatever, and they say, hey, man, we need to recruit Toronto, they might go to that person. So hats off to that person for establishing that, brand identity for who they are.
Thanks, Nima. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions for Nima? Going once, going twice. Hey, Nima, this is great, man. I really appreciate it again. So much valuable insight, and appreciate you being so willing to share and be open about it.
My pleasure. I've started, again, I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. I'm getting better every single day. One thing I've decided to start doing is, like, when someone follows me on Twitter, specifically if they're a high school coach or, you know, someone where I even if you don't have any good players right now, you may have one tomorrow. So I don't need to be recruiting your kids today, but I'm far back because I want to be able to have a direct dialogue. And so that's something that, you know, it's as a strategy is proven to be productive because, that's what social media is all about. It's getting a message out and having dialogue. And so I don't want to be closed off. So my email inbox gets flooded. I try to respond to all of them. Social media is another great way to communicate. So if anybody that may be listening now that wants to ask something directly, you can feel free to do it that way. And you might not get a response right away, but you will get a response. And hopefully, I help to inspire you to do great things like those that came before me did for me.
Okay. Give us the, social media handle, Nima.
It's my full name at Nima, NIMAOMIDVAR, on Twitter and Instagram, and obviously Facebook. That's about all I've got right now in my repertoire. I'm not TikToking. I do have a TikTok account, but that's just to talk to my guys. So, you know, those are probably the best three avenues to reach me. And I'm actually on my to-do list this week on LinkedIn, which I don't have, but I'm going to create one because I want to be able to network with those outside of basketball as we try and, you know, really accomplish some great things here at GW.
Good stuff. DMs are always open. So hit up Nima on social, get the followers up.
Adam, thanks a lot for having me here today. And thanks for all you guys for tuning in and listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Quick reminder, please hit subscribe and go check out risingcoaches.com to find out more information about becoming a member of the biggest coaching tree in all of basketball.